from KQED.
This is the California Report podcast. I'm Penny Nelson. Social programs and schools will see spending hikes under the nearly $200 billion state budget passed by the state legislature yesterday. From KQED's Politics and Government desk, Katie Orr reports the state savings accounts will get a boost as well.
The budget includes historic levels of funding for education, provides thousands of new slots for state-subsidized child care, and $500 million for local governments to respond to homelessness. It also brings state reserves up to nearly $16 billion. However, healthcare advocates say the budget fails to adequately invest in expanding access to care. Senate Leader Tony Atkins acknowledged not all of the Democratic priorities could be funded.
It's not a perfect budget. But I will tell you this, I feel pretty good to be going home and going to community meetings in the next month or 2 months or 3 months so I can share with them what we have been able to do.
Amidst a budget surplus, Republicans blasted Democrats for not returning some money to taxpayers. Governor Jerry Brown, who was involved in the budget negotiations, has until the end of the month to sign off on next year's spending plan. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
The text of new legislation tackling immigration reform was released yesterday. The bill, circulated by Speaker Paul Ryan, is a compromise between moderate and conservative House Republicans. It includes conditional visas for 1.8 million Dreamers. Those are the young people brought to the U.S. illegally as children, who could then compete for a limited number of green cards. It also provides $25 billion for border security and new cuts to family-based immigration. Central Valley Republican Congressman Jeff Denham tried to force a vote on a bipartisan range of immigration bills this week, but the effort stalled. He now backs the new bill, which is due for a vote next week. I asked him what's in the new bill and that's going to change things.
So it is a permanent fix for Dreamers. They will be protected on day one. 1.8 million Dreamers in the U.S. today that will be protected with a path forward, be able to work, be able to sign up for the military, be able to and encouraged to go to school or go to an apprentice so that you can become a working individual. It also has border security, $25 billion in there for both physical as well as technology barriers to be able to know who's coming across our southern border. It deals with asylum, making sure that we have a safety-based system on asylum seekers, as well as making sure that we are changing the lottery system so that we actually are focused on a merit-based system to get people to work and part of our country.
And switching gears, if you'll indulge me, to your reelection, your opponent Josh Harder has said some things like that you're a puppet of the GOP, that you're beholden to special interests. What's your response to that?
Look, I think it's ridiculous to have somebody from the Bay Area decide to run for office in a district like this that has somebody that's fighting for our community. I've been involved in many different local areas to address homelessness, to address the opioid epidemic, to address human trafficking, and now fighting for our Dreamers. But if somebody's going to be politically active and want to run for office, I think they ought to start by voting first. There's no reason that he shouldn't have voted in every election. In fact, he's missed about every election. So I welcome his civic participation, but it should start there and getting involved in our community.
All right. Well, Congressman Jeff Denham from California's 10th District, thanks so much for being with us.
You got it. Thank you so much.
And we'll invite Democratic challenger Josh Harder to talk with us on the California Report next week. So meanwhile, the immigration debate continues to be played out daily on the southern border, where the federal government is separating kids from their parents as a deterrent to other would-be migrants or asylum seekers. It appears they are running out of places to house the kids, so now the Department of Homeland Security and Health and Human Services have established a tent encampment for kids in the Texas desert. California Report host John Sepulvedo is in Texas now, where he's covering this. And John, a tent encampment for kids without parents in the Texas summer heat. What could go wrong?
It sounds awful. I should say right away that these tents are air conditioned. They're climate controlled. But that doesn't really make this any better. These are 450 beds for children who are in federal custody because they crossed over with their parents. As you said, the federal government says this is basically to keep a very strong deterrent. But really, I mean, this is it just is very striking. It's run by Health and Human Services. It's set up by Customs and Border Protection. And it, as you can imagine, it has drawn a lot of criticism.
I have to say, in the desert, in this summer, a lot of children, it doesn't sound safe, it doesn't sound cost-effective, and it doesn't sound humane.
I think that there are many people who would agree with you. Again, not to carry Customs and Border Patrol's water, but what they're saying is that these children are safe, that these children are safer than when they were crossing illegally into the United States, and that this has to be done or people would keep coming. The Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, who has helped institute this policy, says that essentially there's no immunity for people, that you don't get a free pass if you're crossing into the country illegally. He says that they don't want to separate families. But this is clearly a crisis of the federal government's own invention. There was no security reason to take children away from parents that Customs and Border Patrol agents were able to tell me. And rather, this is just done solely as a deterrent. Then the children actually have to stay, on average, about 52 days. So there's a lot of confusion about why this is necessary. But again, it just doesn't pass the face test of these are children in the desert in a tent in the summer.
Are these tent encampments going to be coming to California? And how long do they expect the children to be staying in them?
Well, again, they on average stay about 52 days. We don't know if there are tent encampments coming to California. The Customs and Border Patrol agents didn't answer that question. It seems highly unlikely because of the facilities that are there. We should note that there are strong California connections here, mainly being that the lawsuit against this practice, which has created this tent encampment, has been filed in Los Angeles by the ACLU. We're expecting, you know, some preliminary rulings on that rather quickly. So there's a lot, and a lot of these kids were bound for California. You know, California, it's often talked about the border wall. California has a border wall for the most part. And so one of the most porous parts of the border is actually Texas. So these kids were on their way to California through the Texas desert in the first place, and now they're being separated from their parents and put in a camp.
Now, under pressure, Southwest Key, the organization running many of the shelters, is opening up a few of their facilities for tours. KPBS's Jean Guerrero is at one of them in Southern California. It's in El Cajon. Jean, have you had a tour yet?
No, I'm standing in front of the shelter right now waiting for that tour to start. I can't tell if it's one building or two buildings, but there are these one-floor beige buildings on this main commercial strip. There's an auto shop, there's a salon, a realtors association. So it's a really commercial strip, and you would never expect that there's a child migrant shelter just kind of tucked away in between these buildings.
So there's no evidence of children or staff or anybody?
I saw a staff member walking in. I have not seen any children or heard any children.
So, Jean, has Southwest Key given you any kind of outline or prep sheet about what you should expect or what they are doing?
They've given us materials about Southwest Key, the fact that it's a nonprofit with 27 immigrant youth shelters in Texas, Arizona, and California. They talk about how this particular shelter houses 65 boys and girls ages 6 to 17, that they provide educational programming, indoor and outdoor recreation, and that the average stay is about 52 days before they're able to find sponsors or foster families for these children. But they haven't given us any kind of indication as to what the tour will consist of yet.
All right. Well, Jean Guerrero, we'll be very interested to hear from you once you've had your tour, and we'll be following up. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
That's Jean Guerrero from KPBS in El Cajon. Well, as summer tourism heats up at Yosemite National Park, officials there are reopening a popular destination, a grove of over 500 giant sequoias. The 1,000-year-old trees were closed to the public for 3 years during a $40 million restoration project. At a ceremony yesterday, officials unveiled the new grove, which has more native plants and less asphalt. Park restoration ecologist Sue Beatty says a tram system was removed.
The tram could hardly fit between the trees, and sometimes the paint on the tram was rubbing off on the trees.
The old tram road is now accessible to wheelchairs. These historic sequoias were first preserved by Abraham Lincoln in 1864. It was the nation's first ever act of land preservation. And speaking of beautiful sites, another illegal opium poppy field has been discovered on the Central Coast. This is the ninth one in Santa Cruz County near Watsonville, and it's near a house. That's where KAZU's Erica Mahoney picks up the story.
The house is surrounded by high growth, high vegetation, which is why Sergeant Brian Cleveland with the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office has described this opium poppy field as hiding in plain sight.
Yeah, a lot of the flowers and the plants were located between onions and weeds, and so they were very hard to see.
Santa Cruz County Sheriff's deputies removed between 400 and 500 opium poppy plants on Tuesday, plus more that had already been harvested. The plant, which blooms a bright pink or red flower, also contains opium. That can be processed into heroin.
This is the first opium poppy grow that I've seen in the 11 years I've been here.
This grow is very close to eight other illegal opium poppy fields recently discovered in neighboring Monterey County. It's hard to say why authorities are finding poppy fields lately. Sergeant Cleveland says one angle detectives will look at is if this is connected to the recent legalization of recreational marijuana.
The possibility is that the money not being as fruitful for the illegal growers, maybe this is an option that they're turning to.
The sheriff's office doesn't know who planted the poppy field yet. An investigation is ongoing. For the California Report, I'm Erica Mahoney near Watsonville.
There's been a rare gray wolf sighting in California, rare this time in part because it's much further south than expected. KQED's Leslie McClurg reports.
Officials picked up the wolf's radio collar near Boreal Mountain, just off of Interstate 80.
But she's made her way all the way down into the Sierra, and that's so exciting because this is prime wolf habitat.
That's Amaroke Weiss with the Center for Biological Diversity. The wolf is named OR-54 because she's the 54th wolf that Oregon State biologists have tracked. She's following her father's famed footsteps. He was the first wolf to cross the California border in almost 90 years. It marked the beginning of a wolf comeback after their demise in the 1920s.
And the only reason we lost wolves here, just like everywhere in the country, is we killed them.
The state's wolf management plan estimates the wilderness areas in Northern California could support up to 500 wolves, and that does not include the Sierra. Currently, biologists know of six other wolves with radio collars living in either Plumas or Lassen County. For the California Report, I'm Leslie McClurg.
Support for the California Report comes from Block Construction, a builder committed to enhancing communities in the Bay Area and Central Coast. BLACH.com. Block Construction. Together, building greatness. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And that's the California Report for Friday, June 15th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer this week is Howard Gelman, with additional engineering from Rob Spate, Jim Bennett, and Seal Muller. I'm Penny Nelson. I hope you have a great weekend.